Hello everybody, it's Josh from Ireland. Welcome back to my channel once again. So just 2 years after the Ukraine war began, a lot more Western sanctions were introduced. Having said that, most of them introduced a day or two before, at least announced a day or two before the second anniversary of Russia's illegal war of unprovoked aggression. So sanctions by the European Union, the United States, the United Kingdom, Japan, possibly other countries and entities. So it's on February the 23rd that the United States announced 500 additional sanctions against Russia and other countries which are suspected of allowing Russia to evade sanctions. So President Joe Biden announced them himself. The point is, the sanctions have been ineffectual. Not to say they've had no effect whatsoever. It's estimated that Russia's economy is 5 percentage points below where it would have been had no sanctions been introduced. So over 2 years, 5% is actually quite significant. So their economy shrank about 1% in 2022. It actually grew a bit in 2023, 2%, growing this year 1 or 2%, but it would have grown considerably more were it not for that. But it's obviously dispiriting, almost shocking that it would have grown at all despite these sanctions. So the sanctions perhaps not as stringent as people are led to believe, and Russia's found it relatively easy to work around them. The sanctions are very leaky. You look at Iran being under sanctions on and off for almost 40 years. North Korea being under sanctions for decades, one of the poorest countries in the world, and they've resisted it. South Africa was sanctions. They resisted it for a long time. Not to say sanctions have no effect. They do have an effect, but it's the sanctions on their own seldom change things. It's the totality of sanctions plus fighting, plus being sent to Moral Coventry or whatever, plus some sort of concessions being held out, is that can work to bring about justice. Anyway, President Biden said this latest package of sanctions because of the war in Ukraine and because of the death of Alexei Navalny in that Yamalo-Nenets prison about a week ago. So, and Biden took the opportunity once again to plead with the United States House of Representatives to pass that $60 billion aid package for Ukraine. And he observed that the Republican congressmen who are holding this up, they are indirectly assisting Russia in this war. And remember, the United States is legally and morally obliged to help Ukraine in as much as the United States signed and ratified the Budapest Memorandum in 1994, committing itself to help with Ukraine's defense, as did the United Kingdom. And they've also said, we'll let Ukraine into NATO one day. They said about 2008, but were these just empty words? They said they were going to do this, but sine die, there are several countries ahead of Ukraine in the queue. All right, it doesn't necessarily go in a queue system. You look, Finland got to join in only about a year. Other countries have been waiting for longer. But it depends on your situation. You have to convince NATO that you'll actually contribute to defense. You won't simply take and give nothing. If you're very vulnerable, if your armed forces are very feeble, well, no. You're going to be a problem, a liability. They want you to be an asset. So looking back, so Biden said that the sanctions, they're against organizations as well as individuals whom he accuses of helping Russia manufacture weapons and financing Russia's war machine. So this is meant to hit those who allow sanctions evasion because he wants Russia to pay a very painful price. But even Biden didn't say this is going to bring a war to an end. So about 100 of the entities on the sanctions list are those who supposedly facilitate sanctions invasion. So it also wants to reduce Russia's earnings, which fund the war. Hydrocarbons are vital earnings, but also metals of all kinds, even food, almost no manufactured goods, just weaponry. But Russia's not really exporting weaponry, because it needs all this weapon for itself. India used to be a major export market. Very little has been exported to India since the war began. And often the Indians complaining about the shoddy quality. Things are just factory rejects. They've been sold. So I think Russia may be losing India permanently as an export market. Plus, India's getting richer, can afford more expensive kit. So Biden also said that he wants to enhance civil society and a free media in Russia so that it can become a democracy. Russians will find out what's really happening in their country and in the war. And on the 22nd of February, he even played host to Alexei Navalny's widow and his grown-up daughter in the White House, his daughter who went to university in the United States. Remember, that was used against Navalny. Oh, how can he afford this? He must be bribed by the Yankees. Anyway, so how about the sanctions from the United Kingdom? On the 22nd of February, the United Kingdom said there are going to be 50 more sanctions. These are mostly against all oil traders, metal mines, because in terms of metals, you name it, Russia's got it. Those who sell diamonds, which is earned a lot of revenue for the Kremlin, military manufacturing companies, and also electronics companies. Obviously, those are vital in, high tech military gear, whether it's planes or missiles or anything. So the aim is the degradation of Russia's war machine. So it won't be able to manufacture weaponry and won't be able to finance the war effort. So the United Kingdom was really trying to cut off Russia's revenue streams. And obviously the UK can only make a small contribution to that. So the sanctions are against 14 individuals and entities. The one that re they're really trying to hit is the Sverdlov state-owned enterprise, because that is the biggest military manufacturing company in Russia. So Sverdlov, what Yekaterinburg, as it is now, named after Sverdlov, who gave the order to execute the Romanovs. I mean, ultimately, Lenin approved it, but the city's now Yekaterinburg again. So there it is in the Urals. So is he out of the reach of enemy bombers? Well, not anymore. So the UK also sanctioned three Chinese companies, a Turkish electronics company, a couple of companies in Belarus, which Russia is supposedly buying dual use items from. Things which have a military application and a non-military application. And so Niels Troost is an oil trader who's been sanctioned because Russia got the dark fleet of something like 1,000 oil tankers, been able to export its oil quite successfully. The oil price cap is reducing their revenue. The question is, the $60 a barrel, is that too high? Should be reduced to 55. The one thing is, they don't want to cut it off completely, because then there'll be a shortage of oil in the world markets and the price would go up. And any Russia managed to sell, they'll make more money out of. And the thing is, the oil cap is you can't insure shipments if it's selling at above that level. And the sanctioning countries have the great majority of the world's insurance market. I suppose Russia could get insurance from non-sanctioning countries, but then you get nothing for free. There are no free meals with the Chinese, for example, even though we're supposedly friends. Okay, we'll charge you a very high premium because we can. Because we know that you've got no alternative. Anyway, so the sanctions go on. So Russia's coped with these sanctions better than anyone anticipated. They've also purchased a lot of drones, Shahed drones from Iran, shells from North Korea, often Russian manufactured. The Russians are buying them back. But people say this is going to slow down. Russia's got the considerable munitions advantage, but the North Koreans can't afford to sell them any more shells. Maybe the Iranians any drones, and another they can manufacture more drones. But the Iranians are going to say, we need them for ourselves, because there's a significant chance we're going to have a full-scale war against Israel and or Saudi Arabia and or the United States. I think because of what Israel's done in Gaza, the Saudis cannot be seen to be killing the Israelis at the moment. But anyway, so that's why they say that Russia's a major advantage in munitions might be temporary. Anyway, the UK also introduced sanctions on six officials in that prison where Navalny died. And 8 days later, his body supposedly been given back to his mother. He's told they've got to bury him within hours. Really, they don't want an autopsy. They don't want any proof about how he's murdered. Exactly the same thing happened to Sergei Magnitsky, that gallant lawyer who was murdered in a Russian prison because he exposed a multi-million dollar, well, hundreds of millions of dollar a tax fraud scheme. And that's what led to the Global Magnitsky Act. So the UK has already sanctioned over 2,000 individuals and entities since the war began. But are these they will have some sort of effect. Over 200 individuals and organizations were sanctioned. So anyway, they actually took effect on the 24th of February, symbolically the second anniversary of the war. So the European Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, said that the aim of the sanctions is to enfeeble Russia's war effort. So that's over 2,000 individuals and entities have been sanctioned in Russia and other countries in relation to the Ukraine war. But these sanctions are not particularly economic in scope. They're strictly against the military manufacturing. The one thing about sanctions is you also hurt yourself, because then you can't sell things to that market, or you can't purchase things from that market. And when the war ends, you don't necessarily get that market back or that supplier back. So in straitened economic circumstances, they'll be saying, come on, we've got to think about self-interest here. And there's no good in hurting ourselves. That doesn't particularly hurt Russia. And, damage their economy, Putin doesn't care. He'll starve his people if he needs to in order to win the war. So And some of them are going to be smart sanctions. So the EU is sanctioning companies in Uzbekistan, Iran, China, the United Arab Emirates, and so on. And the EU, up until now, was fought shy of sanctioning neutral countries, thinking that if it did so, that they might actually push them.